Yeah, because I happen to know that probably several of my other pastor friends will probably want to listen to this particular one, which would be a joyful thing. Now, this week is going to be a little different, but then again, a little different is actually quite normal with our church. Now, how many of you guys were with me in the van coming to church last week? Yeah, you were. I think you were in the van. No, coming to church. Yeah, several of you were. Now, do you remember how I was joking around? I said, you know, next week's message is going to be about why every believer should be punctual. Do you remember me joking around about that? That was kind of funny. Well, you know what's even more amusing? Is I thought to myself, you know, I've never actually heard a message about from the scriptures about punctuality. I've never actually heard one. So I did some research. And you know what? There is valid biblical premise for it. I thought, ooh, that's interesting. Something I can learn, something I can dig into that I hadn't heard preached before. So it's interesting. There are valid biblical premises to support the believer being on time. In fact, it is a good practice for everyone. Now, let me clarify this. I want to make it perfectly clear. I'm not talking about one who is occasionally late, or who has good intentions on being on time, but due to unforeseen circumstances, has been delayed. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, if there's been an accident, or maybe your dog exploded, you know, 5 minutes before you were supposed to leave, or something just really odd happened, which delayed you upon occasion. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you go out to your car, you start turn the engine, and both your wheels fall off. Not talking about that. I'm speaking about if you arrive at services late more often than arriving on time, if it is habitual, if it's a habit, because you don't feel it is important or worth the effort to get things done to be on time. As I approach this, as I approach any message, doesn't matter to me where I preach it. I could be preaching it here, I could be preaching it in a church in the States, I could be preaching it in a church in Germany, doesn't matter where, because it's the biblical premises that I speak about. Because I knew some people at my last in Trinity, and you know, they didn't arrive on time. They almost made a point of pride never to be on time. In fact, in the world today, some of the Hollywood crowd said, "Yes, punctuality is great, but you'll eat alone because everyone wants to be fashionably late." Well, that doesn't necessarily work. Now, for this week, I want to examine the premise that everyone needs to be on time. You might say, well, why? Why should I, as a believer, be on time? Well, first of all, because being late is being disrespectful to your brethren. Now, the Bible in Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, to move me out of the way. Help, Lord, that the words that are said today be honoring and glorifying to you. And help us, Lord, to get the right kind of perspective on our lives, that we may glorify you more and more as we see your day approaching. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, this esteeming one another and looking on others' things would include their time. Looking on the things of others. One who is consistently late is considered by most people to be kind of selfish. And indeed, it is selfish to expect others to habitually wait on you, to accommodate your lateness. I mean, when you are late, doesn't it show people that you consider your time to be more valuable than theirs? Now, in the realm of attending church services, consider what kind of message you send to the teacher or the preacher when you are habitually late. How would you feel if you had prepared a speech and the audience couldn't hear or was distracted from listening to you because people kept on filing through the door 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes after you began? I mean, what about the Bible class teacher who has spent his time preparing the lessons in which he has to start over again because of the disruption of the late student? It shows a lack of concern for the subject matter and the preparation that the speaker put into his message. You know, it can also cause the teacher to feel as if you don't really care about the effort they have been put in. You know, it can get discouraging for the teacher. Even in a secular society, even in the world, if you go into college, you know, it may upset your teachers if you you continually show up late. Thinking like, well, why should I even bother? These students don't care. These students, you know, they never show up for their classes on time. You know, they didn't do their homework. You know, it can be discouraging to teachers. The Bible in Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." You need to ask yourself, is it being kind to each other or loving to make someone else wait around for you or be interrupted because you cannot be bothered to do that which is right from week to week? Is that kind? Well, no. It shows the attitude of the world, putting self first. Saying to your, saying that, well, as long as the world can revolve around me, it's fine. Putting yourself first, your time, making your time the most important thing. And you know, the attitude of the world has no place in the heart of the believer. But why else should everyone be on time? Well, because being late is a poor testimony of your commitment. For yourself, first and foremost, in Colossians 3:1-2, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, you might think, well, what has that got to do with being late for things? Should be Colossians 3:1? Yeah, 1 and 2. Not on things on the earth. And you might think, well, does that have anything to do with being late for things? Well, think. If we are setting our affections on things above, are we not prioritizing things in our lives in their importance? Setting our affections on things above, we put things in order the way they should be. For example, in my life, I would put reading the Bible of more importance than, let's say, reading Hello Magazine or OK or... Which one? Which one do you read? No, you don't read any of those, do you? No, of course not. Of course you don't read any of those, which is good. Or whatever kind of version of the latest social printed gossip is. You know, I put my Bible reading well above that. But, you know, if I allow those type of magazines to delay me from my Bible reading, or even replace it, am I not placing my affections on them and not on things above like the Scriptures? Am I not prioritizing things in my life if I allow my Bible reading to be delayed by, you know, magazine reading or, you know, some kind of latest novel or, dare I say, video game? Are we not prioritizing? You know, if I skip my Bible reading because I want to take time out to listen to the latest album by P. Diddy or something like that. Not that I ever have delayed my Bible reading to listen to the latest album by P. Diddy. No. Huh? That's a good thing. It's good. It's okay. Get a pat on the head from here. There you go. Air pat. Yeah, you go. But you'd be prioritizing one thing above the other, wouldn't you? You're saying, this has more importance in my life than that thing. Well, now the question is, what is delaying you from getting to a certain place on time? Or getting to the services on time? Is it because you are tired because you spent too much time the night before playing games? Well, then your affections are for the games and not for the service of the Lord. Or maybe watching videos is your thing. Or shopping. Or sports. Or music. Or gossiping with your friends. Whatever it is, if it is interfering, then it needs to be reprioritized. Now, I didn't say eliminated, but, you know, sometimes that might be what it takes. Because we need focus. We need to make sure that we have things in the right priorities. You know? You don't necessarily need to cut something completely out of your life if there's nothing wrong with it, but if it's making you late for services, you need to reprioritize it. Definitely. And if you need be, yeah, you cut it out. You know, Beverly, if you spend too much time playing Monopoly late on Saturday nights, you know, then you need to reprioritize. You need to set a little clock. You know, say, okay, whoever has the most money at this time, they'll win, and then the game is over because you need to go to bed and get ready for church in the morning. You understand that? Now, you probably don't play a great deal of Monopoly on... You always win. And no one thinks you cheat because you're just so cute. Yes. So... My brother used to steal from the bank in Monopoly. It's normal. But you reprioritize. You figure out what is making me late. What am I placing in my life above that, that I place attendance on the things of the Lord? Yeah? Whatever it is. Could be anything. I don't know. The Bible says in Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. You say you love God. Well, do you? Well, let me ask you girls something. Did you go on dates with your husband beforehand, before you got married and stuff? No. If he says, you know, girls, if a guy says to you, I love you, but on the first date he shows up half an hour late.
And then on the second day, he shows up half an hour late. No excuse, he just shows up half an hour late. And the third day, he shows up an hour late, or doesn't even bother showing up at all. Do you think he's going to get a fourth day? No. Because he says, oh, I love you. Like, if you love me, you'd show up. So I'm not sitting there in the restaurant all by myself with everyone looking at me, thinking like, oh, she got stood up again. You know?
As if she's going to show up on time.
Well,
I've never seen him on time or anything. I'm always late.
I know.
Okay. So they're not going to know what you're like. And they're not.
But you see, if I reverse the situation, I get in trouble. See, if I, being a man, pick on the men, it's okay. Because then you guys won't be, talking about it for, the next 6 to 7 months. Whereas if, you don't really care, by the time, you have a cup of coffee, you're done. You don't care about it anymore. But, you offend the women folks, then it's like, oh, you're always late. For the women folks, then, you might hear about it for the next, 2-3 years. But it's okay, buddy. You'll find out about this stuff. The Bible says, be wise. Be wise. Yes. But yes, women folks can be late too. Yes, they can be late. Sometimes they are. I've heard. Yeah. But the thing is, by the fourth date, the guy, he'll probably give the woman another chance. He'll probably give her another chance. But will the woman give the guy a chance? No. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Yeah, you'd laugh at that because you understand because that was from your time period. But some of the other girls.
I'll give you two chances.
Oh, two chances and then kick them to the curb. I guess you were punctual on your dates there, Teddy. Actually, you might have even arrived there a little early, And that's not a bad thing, guys. Not a bad thing to arrive a little early. Get to the house maybe 10, 15 minutes, but don't go to the house until it's, right on the time. Because you arrive too early for women folks, then they get all antsy. You arrive, get there, and everything's done right, and you'll be fine. That's just a little tip from the pastor to you guys. It's special. I mean, when I first started dating Laura, if at all possible, I was actually half an hour early, and I would sit and wait in the hallway of the dormitory just in case that she was ready early. Now, why did I do that? Why would a guy do that? Why would a guy go up to a place and get there early? Because it's important to you. You're smiling there, so you're turning colors. Are you okay? Do we need some medication for you, brother? Okay. Okay. Huh? Well, you probably don't know two bunny guys that would arrive half an hour early, but do you?
No.
It's. That's fine, because at least then it's not my fault. You'll find even now I do a lot of things just to make sure it's not my fault. Well, you do as you please, but I'm just letting you know what went on with me. I arrived early and waited outside just in case she was ready early so she would not have to wait on me. This accomplishes two things. It shows that person is important to me. That person is is something in my life that I place great value upon. You know? And it also means, of course, that, you know, like I said, I can't get blamed for being late. Because I wanted the second date and the third date, you know. So, if you didn't show up at time, I probably wouldn't have gone the second date, third date. Now, of course, it was just, you know, like, ooh, we're going to church. Ooh, you know, it's like, yay. But that's another matter. And everybody noticed that about me. You know, people would walk by in the hallway and they'd say, what you doing out here, man? I was like, I'm meeting Lauren about 15 minutes. Like you just hang out here? Like, yeah. You know, people knew that she was important to me. It didn't go unnoticed. Everyone in the building knew that I cared about her just because of me being there. Now, the question is, how important is the Lord to you? You know? Enough to be on time? Yes, I know the importance. The Lord is very... It was a rhetorical question. one that you answer in your own heart, like, yes, you know. And it is important also for others. Because examine it from the point of view of a visitor to the services. See, they may arrive early to be able to either ask questions or they allowed extra time to get there because they were unsure of directions. And when they arrive, maybe there's nobody really to speak to. Is that welcoming? Does that show concern for their soul? I mean, you can't expect the pastor to do everything. Or when the services start, are they the only ones there? You know, that will make them feel more awkward and more uncomfortable than they already are by being in a new place. And this has happened here. You know, I've seen it myself. People, some new people, they arrive before almost anybody else ever gets here. And I'm still trying to set up this and that, and talk to them. It's not good. It's not good. And if you arrive 10 minutes late, what will they think? If this church is not important to the normal people who come here, the normal members, why should it be important to me? If the regulars are not motivated, then why should I bother? I mean, you might be the one that has something in common with them, which may lead to a friendship and acceptance, and in time, the thing that helps them stay to hear the message of the gospel enough to receive Christ as their Savior. You know, we've had people that come in that I didn't have very much in common with, but Joel had some stuff in common with them. You know, some people came in that, you know, they were from Africa. And, you know, turns out Joel, he'd been to their town. You know, he'd been to some of the restaurants or something that they knew about. They could talk about that kind of stuff. And who knows, there may be people that come in that you have something in common with that I might not. That you might be able to make that connection with. That they think, yeah, I'll go along to church next week. It'll be, you know, time to maybe, you know, talk to some of these people again. You know? Speak with Mike again about, you know, plumbing. Or, you know, with people about stuff that you might have in common with them. I don't know what it might be in common with. You know, hair gel. I don't know. Something. It's important. We say, well, how? How can we be on time? Well, by redeeming the time. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I mean, Paul is not asking us to buy back time, because once time is gone, no amount of money can ever buy it back. But he wants us to pay the needed price in effort and sacrifice to use properly the time, that is, the opportunities that we have now. I've also heard this being described as buying fruit in season. Doing the things when they are due to be done. You know, getting things done when they should be done. Here is the opportunity, this season, set aside to study and worship God together. Now, if we are redeeming the time, if we are making good use of the time, shouldn't we be here on time to study and worship our Creator? I mean, what better use of our time is there than to be together with those of like precious faith studying the Word of God? That seems like a pretty good use of time to me. Unlike, you know, some churches in the States, there's one day a year they'll cancel services because of the Super Bowl. You know, some kind of big sporting events. We won't do that. Two reasons. One, not that interested. Two, by the time it comes on over here, it's like really late at night and there's no need. So, but even if there was a sport that I was concerned about, we're not going to cancel church because of it. You know, that's why we have recording devices. Just go record it and then go back to it later. It's good to go. iPlayer, it's good stuff, you know. You don't let those things dictate your schedule. You do what's right. But how else can we be on time? Well, we can be on time by realizing the benefits. You know there are benefits to getting here early? There are. First of all, you are calm and relaxed because you aren't rushing around. You are preparing your mind to seek the Lord. And it really helps you to receive the information if you are calm. You know, if you're taking an exam, you guys take exams because you do college stuff. Here's a tip. Arrive early to the exam room. That way you've got time to sit and settle. Because if you arrive right before when it starts, you're still panicked. Your mind's still all over the place. You're not in a good position to regurgitate the things you've studied. And the same way in church. Arrive in enough time so you can settle. You can have a cup of tea and whatever else that we find back there. You know, forage. You know, it's good. And then you're ready to receive whatever God has for you. You could also visit with fellow Christians before the services. And you know, that's some of the best time to grow closer and help your brothers and sisters in Christ. Often those who arrive early are the ones who grow the closest together and work the hardest in the local congregation. Now, if you feel sometimes a little left out, try arriving early and see what happens. You can situate yourself. You can, you know, put your Bible down. You can get your class materials ready in plenty of time for the class. You aren't causing weaker brethren to be distracted by your late arrival. And visitors will see that this is something that you are passionate about. And it will stir interest. You know, what is this thing that gets these church folks excited about getting to and being in church? You know, people like things that interest other people. This is England. If you have, you could try this as an experiment one time. Get six or seven people together and stand in line in front of a door. Make a little queue. Some people will just walk back and get in the queue to find out what's going on. I know, I've seen it. They've done it on television. You know, they had this big shop that was closed and they had just people lining up at the door, and then other people just started lining up behind them. Because people are interested, what's going on here? And if you arrive early for the services, you think, when visitors arrive, they think, oh, there's already people here. Something must be going on. what's going on. It gets the brain working. It's important. It's good. Because if we are truly setting our affections on things above, we will want to be present when the Word of God is being discussed. Brethren, let us strive to be more punctual. Well, how else can we be on time? Well, by planning ahead. First of all, have a plan. Resolve to get to the building 10 or 15 minutes before the services start, at least. Make your definition late. Ken Ham talked about his definitions were changing from language to language. Change your own definition of late as being anything after that designated time. Let's say, for me, I was a little late this morning because I was here 27 minutes before the services started. Now, to me, that's late. That's at least 4 minutes late. Now, I want to try and get here at least half an hour prior to services starting. And it shows. In fact, you guys ever heard of Nelson? Lord Nelson? Great naval commander in England. Have a column in the center of London, got his arm blown off and stuff, He said, he once said, I owe all my success in life to having always been a quarter of an hour before my time. And, 15 minutes can make a huge difference, especially in a naval battle. Now, you arrive 15 minutes before the enemy gets there, it's like, hey, we got time to set up our ships and stuff. We can, put some things over here, put some things over there. Have some little boats, set them on fire, push them out toward the enemy. Yeah, that's all kinds of fun stuff you can do with 15 minutes. Have a plan. Or as my pastor in Germany said, if you're 5 minutes early for church, you're 10 minutes late. Secondly, set a goal. Decide what time you need to leave your house so you'll arrive at the building at your designated time. Using wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing how long it takes to get here or to wherever you happen to be going. That's your knowledge, knowing the average time. Wisdom is saying, if that's how long it takes, this is when I need to leave. And, remember, if there are any roadworks or events going on, it could delay you. When it's Veterans Day here, when they have the services for Armistice, you know that you've got to get through God Manchester a little bit early because they'll shut off that road closer to the time. They'll shut it down, then you have to go all the way around. It's difficult. And make an effort to leave at the time you're supposed to. Even if somebody's hair isn't fixed perfectly or somebody's shoes are untied. If you make this consistent, the rest of the family will know what to expect and they'll adapt. 3, you think ahead. Lay out everyone else's clothes the night before or an hour beforehand. And have an alternate route planned just in case of road closures. Because this is England. We have lorries tipping over all the time. The A14 is full of them. It's like, how do you people even drive on here? Because every other day, lorry overturned. Yeesh. Get organized. Make sure you got your Bibles and your materials ready beforehand so it's easy, accessible, before it's time to leave. I always put my stuff in my laptop case the night before, if at all possible. That way, all I need to do is grab the bag and go. Nice and easy. And take care of the physical needs. Make sure everyone's fed and plenty of time to be finished and cleaned up before it's time to leave. Or, if not, they just come here, there's bound to be something. It's important. This is the way you can get things done. If you don't have a plan to be, if you don't plan to be on time, you won't be on time. Simple as that. Now, if you're here today and you might say, well, that's all well and good, but I'm not actually a believer, so none of this really applies to me. Well, you know, there's something that you should know. There is not only being late for the Lord's services, you know, there is simply just being late for the Lord. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." You know, because there is coming a time when the Lord may not be found, when the time for calling upon him has ended. In Hebrews 9:27 it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." It is vital that you make plans and preparations now while there is time. The Bible in Luke chapter 13 verse 23 says, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able." When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without, and knock at the door, and saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us," and he shall answer, and say unto you, "I know not whence ye are." Then ye shall begin to say, "We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets." But he shall say, "I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. You know, Jesus there was speaking about the people who had even seen him and spoken with him and, you know, had lunch with him, being excluded because they had not repented of their sin and received him as Savior. These are people who actually would have spoken to Christ himself. Yet they would be excluded because they had not received. They had not taken that time required to repent, to receive him. Because remember, we do not know when we will die or when the Lord will return. But we do know that we have this moment, this second, to repent, that is, to turn from our sin and receive Christ as our Savior. Don't delay. Don't be late for the Lord. If you've never received him as Savior, do that today. If you need to ask some questions, you need to come to us about it, it's fine. We can talk to you about these things. And folks, you know, for the rest of us who are believers, let's try and make an effort to be on time. I'm not, like I said, I'm not talking about the unforeseen circumstances. But let's make sure it's important enough in our lives for us to make an effort. For other people to know that it's important in our lives to make the effort to be at church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, to just help us this week to seek to place our hearts and our minds on those things which are above, to prioritize the things in our lives according to your will. And Lord, not even just with timekeeping, but with our activities, the time you've given us. Help us to seek your face this week and draw others to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.